The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they all saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Father Kriegel called me earlier this week and asked me if I would fill in for him this weekend. He had to have a pacemaker, and he wanted you to know that. He's fine, but he just thought it would be smart, prudent, if he just took the weekend and just kind of healed from that. So he'll be back, but would appreciate your prayers. So, Trinity Sunday. I want to talk to you about God, obviously, the Trinity, and I want to talk to you why these readings were chosen to be by the church to be the readings that we reflect on today. The book of Deuteronomy and the Gospel of Matthew absolutely have a lot of parallels. They are very connected, and I'm going to explain to you why they're so connected and what's kind of the same thing happening in both of those readings. And I'll talk about that beautiful second reading also, you know, talks about the Spirit living in us, living inside of us. That's where I'll end, because that's the mission of the Holy Spirit is the mission that we are in right now. We're part of it because he lives inside of us. What's happening in the book of Deuteronomy? What's happening in the book of Matthew that are the same? I'll tell you. Just remember this. For Matthew, the gospel writer, Jesus is the new Moses. That's his main image. And as Moses is absolutely 100% the central character in the Old Testament, Jesus is that person in the New Testament and forever, obviously. The similar thing that, so Matthew wants his community and Jewish people in general, to accept Jesus as the next step in salvation history. We live in history. We're making history. This is history right now. Each moment, each day, each week, each year is history, chronological history. But as Christians, we live in another kind of history too. We live in salvation history, which means that we pay attention to the things that God has been doing in every age. In every age of the church, and in every age, all the covenants that led up to the coming of Jesus. And we celebrate those things. And in the first reading, wasn't that beautiful reading? It says, did anything so great ever happen before? Was it ever heard of? That a people would hear the voice of God? People would be able to spend time with God? He did signs and wonders before our very eyes. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, it's awesome, you know? And this is Moses' last lecture. This is his last lecture to the people. This is his final sermon to the people. This is his last sermon to the children of Israel before they go into the promised land without him. He's not going. He stays behind, and he goes up the mountain to die. This is their last time that they get to see him. They've been following this guy around for 40 years. And now, all of a sudden, he's not going to be there anymore. But God has promised to go with the people, but in a new way. And so Moses needs to prepare the people for this, because it's going to be scary. Imagine. I mean, it's scary moving on to the next phase of life. I don't care who you are. When there's ever that mystery, it can be difficult. And that's exactly where they're at. So Moses sits them down, and he tells them that they need to remember who they are and what God did for them, that God will go with them into the promised land, but it's going to be different. There's no more manna, that daily bread that they received. There's no more pillar of fire or smoke that led them by day or by night. It's not going to be the same. They're going to have to figure it out. They're going to have to figure, and they will. And it won't be perfect, but they're going to figure it out. That's what's happening in the gospel today. Jesus is leaving. And for these 11 folks, plus all the others that were there, there were many, many more. For these 11, they've been with him now for 3 years. And they didn't have to think about a thing. Every day they woke up, Jesus woke up. Jesus went this way. They went this way. Jesus went this way. They went this way. They followed him, and everywhere they went, great things happened. Everywhere they went. You know, people were healed. People were fed. People who were dead were alive. It was awesome. And so now they're very used to this. They love him. And I mean, who doesn't love him, you know? And so here we are. We're his followers of today. Of course we love him. But they now have to figure it out. And he says to them on the mountaintop in Galilee, which I'm going to tell you why that's important. He tells them that he will be with them forever, but it's going to be different. It's not in the same way, not in the same way at all. And they're going to have to go down from that mountain, and they're going to have to figure it out. And they become the church, and here we are today because they did figure it out, and it wasn't perfect, and it was different. So Deuteronomy is Moses giving the people instructions as to how to live in the promised land of Canaan. Matthew chapter 28, this is the absolute end of the gospel. There's not another line after this. You could just say the end, because that's the end of Matthew's gospel. Their instructions for his disciples as to how to live in the world to lead other people to the promised land of heaven. That's our commission. These are our instructions. And he tells us to go to the ends of the earth. Galilee, geography lesson, up here, this is the Holy Land. Galilee's at the top. Samaria is in the middle, and Judea is at the bottom, north, middle, south. Jesus is born down here in Bethlehem, and he dies down here in Jerusalem, which are only a few miles from each other. Samaria is in the middle. Jesus always had to go through there and had a lot of trouble in there. And in the north is Galilee. Galilee is where Jesus was raised. He's born in the south. He dies in the south, but he's raised up in the north in Nazareth. Peter's from up there, Capernaum. James and John are from up there. Andrew, Mary Magdalene's from up there. All the big, I say the top of the litany of saints are all from Galilee. That's where they all come from, right? And that's where they live. Mary and Joseph are from up there. So anyway, that's the frontier. That's the edge of the Holy Land. The northern edge of the Holy Land is there. And it was called Galilee of the Gentiles, because it was right next to the Gentiles' territory. Now, Jewish people very rarely left the Holy Land. I don't know if you know that or not. Very rarely did they go outside of the border. It'd be like going into Canada or something like that, you know. Jewish or Gentiles came in and out all the time. But Jews didn't leave the boundaries of the Holy Land unless they absolutely had to. Because once they left, they had to do all these purification rituals when they came back into their own country. Jesus, we have a record, only one time did he leave the boundaries of the Holy Land in his entire grown life. Because they went to Egypt when he was a baby, but they came right back as soon as they could. So when he takes them to Galilee, he's taking them literally to the frontier, to the edge. And he's saying, you know, this gospel of ours, it's not just for the people inside these boundaries. It's not just for Judea, Samaria, and Galileans. It's not just for people right across the border either. He said it's for the entire world. He says, make everybody disciples. Go and baptize everybody. In other words, invite everyone that you can into this beautiful family that understands that they are in communion with God. That they are, invite them into salvation history, not just regular history. Because in regular history, what do they have to look forward to? But in salvation history, we have everything to look forward to. That's why this is such an important thing. Invite everyone. And he says, go to the ends of the earth. The Holy Land's like this big. The Roman Empire's like this big. It's gigantic. He said, don't even stop there. He said, my power, all power, extends far, far, far in every single way. The entire world is mine, he says. Heaven and earth are mine. Take this gospel to the ends of the earth. And there are 2 billion of us in the world today. And it's to the ends of the earth. We're doing our part every day. He invites them to invite others into this beautiful communion, to know that we are children of a loving God who creates us, who we can call Father, that we have been redeemed by the victorious Son and Savior, and that we are being sustained by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You know, God was not satisfied just in creating us. So he came and lived with us in Jesus. He stood next to us. He loved us. He healed us. He looked us in the eye. He loved us heart to heart, hand in hand. And that wasn't even good enough. And God wanted to be even closer to his people. And so he came and lives inside of us now. You can't get any closer. We are the embodied, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in each and every one of us. That's Trinity Sunday. Let us pray. Let us profess our Apostles' Creed together.